Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, y'all ready to receive the word this morning? Well, go with me to John chapter 15. We're going to look at a couple of verses together. This, what I'm talking about today is called deep roots, and this is something that we've been walking our interns through in our nine-month gap program at Applied Life Leaders Academy, and in talking about the importance of deep roots in a person's life. They just play such a vital role. And so I want to kind of start us out with a verse here this morning, John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus said, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the what? The branches." That's right. And it says, "Those who remain in me, and I in them, will," say that with me, "will produce," say it with me, "produce much fruit." See, God wants us producing fruit. That's God's plan for us to produce fruit. And it says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." In verse 16, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." See, God picked you. He picked you first. "And I appointed you to go and produce" what? "Lasting fruit." Fruit that remains. What some translations say. Fruit that remains. So if you're a follower of Jesus, then your calling and your destiny is to be fruitful. God wants us being fruitful people for Him. And I'm not talking about religious activities like going to church. I mean, we all know that we're called to come to church. The Bible is clear on don't forsake the fellowshipping of believers. And that's why you're all here. So I'm preaching to the choir, right? You're here. We all know that we're supposed to be here. So I'm not talking about that. I mean, what I'm talking about is fruit means when people taste your life, you taste like Jesus. You taste like Him. They experience His attitude, His personality, His anointing, His presence. So in other words, if you're grafted into the vine of Jesus, then the scripture says that your life should have tangible, observable traits that look like Him. People, when they see you, they see a little bit of Jesus in your life. And the scripture says that we're not called just to produce fruit, but Jesus said that we are to produce, look at that scripture, it says that we're to produce what? Much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, but we're called to produce much fruit, and not just much fruit, but fruit that lasts. I mean, lasting fruit, see? There's a big difference between fruit and much fruit. God's not called us to live a conservative Christian life. God's not called us to just do the minimal. No, He says, "Look, guys, I want you to produce much fruit," right? You know, if a little bit of grapes is good, a lot of grapes is better, right? You know, one grapefruit's good, but five are better, because then I can have one every day of the week. That's really, really good. See, we're much, much fruit. And then He goes on to say that I want you to produce fruit that will last, fruit that will remain. In other words, God's not just satisfied with us having temporary results. He's not talking about, you know, like if you're a young person going to youth camp and you get a youth high and, you know, you love Jesus for a week and you serve Him for a week and then it wears off and then, you know, you kind of forgot what it is that God did in your life. Or we go to a conference and something happens and we get a word and those, not that I'm against any of those things. I think all that's great, but God's wanting us to have fruit that remains. In other words, God's not satisfied with temporary results. God wants permanent change. God wants generational influence. In other words, when I got saved, you know, and just like this morning as we were singing that song and it was so good, it was just talking about, you know, from generation to generation, right? And I was just, you know, and if you're a parent, you just automatically do that. You just start praying over your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids, because, you know, when you're younger, you don't really think in that in that frame of mind, but as you begin to get older, you begin to look at it that way, and you're just like, yes, God, pour your blessings out on my generation of children and their generation and their generation. See, God is he's a multi-generational God. God's wanting legacy. He wants fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. Can I have an amen? In the growth cycle of fruit-bearing trees and plants, the seed comes first, and the fruit comes last. That's just the way it works. And I'm sure because we're here in Missouri, we probably have some guys here that are farmers and have gardens and livestock and things like that. And I grew up most of my life in the country, about 18 miles out in the country. My grandfather was a cattleman. My dad was a cattleman, and we raised Angus and Brangus cattle and even some limousine a little bit. And so I grew up doing that. My dad just loved planting gardens. He just planted tons and tons. You know, if you know, a quarter acre was good, why not plant 15 or 20 or 30? You know, it's just how my dad did. But a seed, the growth cycle of a fruit-bearing tree, the fruit comes at the very end. Okay, the seed comes first and the fruit comes at the very end. And when the seed is watered, what it will do is the seed will break open, and the first thing that grows is the roots. The roots begin to go down before the plant comes up and breaks through the soil. The roots have to begin to go into the soil to establish the plant so that when it comes out of the soil, what it is going to produce, it can actually sustain, right? It can do that. So both the plant and the root system keep growing until the root system is strong enough that it can support whatever it is going to produce, okay? So, you know, when I was growing up, we planted some fruit trees. We had plum trees that we planted and quite a bit of plum trees that we planted. And, you know, when you plant those trees, it takes several years before, you know, they'll actually produce any fruit. But I mean, sooner than you plant it. I mean, it's coming up. You start seeing it coming up out of the ground. It's just like corn or tomatoes or whatever. You know, you plant the seed and it's going to come up. But there's a very interesting tree that's very different from most other trees that you know. It's the Japanese bamboo tree. And some of you may have Googled this or looked this up, but it's really, really interesting because the Japanese bamboo tree, the first year that you plant the seed in the ground, absolutely nothing happens. Nothing. Now, I'm talking not even a little blade, not even a little sprout breaks through the soil. As a matter of fact, the second year of the Japanese bamboo tree, after you plant the seed, and I'm talking you're watering it and the sun's hitting it and all that, in the second year, absolutely nothing happens with the Japanese bamboo tree. It's crazy. But on the third year, kind of like Jesus in the tomb, right? On the what day? The third day Christ came forth. Well, with the Japanese bamboo tree on the third year, guess what happens? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But in the fourth year, kind of like Jesus with Lazarus, right? You know, he delayed 4 days and he came, oh, you know, he stinks, Lord. No, no, no. And Jesus said, no, Lazarus, come forth. In the fourth year of the Japanese bamboo tree, guess what happens? Nothing. I set y'all up, didn't I? Nothing. But in the fifth year, no, something does happen, and it's pretty crazy. In the fifth year of the Japanese bamboo tree, in 6 weeks, that tree grows almost 90 feet tall. In 6 weeks. I mean, you could just almost sit there and visibly watch it grow. I mean, it's just growing so quickly and so fast, and we marvel at that growth, and we love the part of the story because I watched everybody's eyes, and I watched everybody go, wow, that's awesome. It grew 90 feet in just 6 weeks. We love that part of the story. We all want to hear that because everybody likes that sudden, rapid growth. As a matter of fact, us pastors know and speakers know, if you just put in the title of your message, suddenly or breakthrough, man, your views will be way higher. I mean, way higher. You just, because how you title something is really, really important. And some pastors are really sharp, you know. They'll just put suddenly and it won't have anything to do with what they're talking about or breakthrough. Just wait a minute. What? He didn't even talk about breakthrough. No, he just sucked you in. Because we like that. We want the breakthrough. We want the suddenly. That appealing, rapid growth is something that we just are drawn to. We all want suddenly to happen. Yet there's a season of waiting. And for the Japanese bamboo tree, for it to be able to do what it does in 6 weeks' time, something has to take place in the soil, deep underneath the ground in the unseen places. Nothing's visible. You can't really tell that anything's happening. You don't really know that anything's going on underneath, because it's not visible, but deep beneath the soil, hidden from sight, God is preparing a root system that will be able to sustain the Japanese bamboo tree. You know, I was thinking about pulling up on this campus this weekend, and I saw these roads out here, you know, the paved road that we now have that comes from the main road to here. And if you're new here, if you haven't been here for very long, you know, Christian Ministries Church went for years and years and years. As a matter of fact, you know, I just didn't even bother to wash my truck before I came down here. And I like a clean vehicle, ask my wife, but I just didn't even bother to wash my truck because I knew the minute that I got to Missouri, I was going to hit this road and it's just going to be like powder or mud, depending on what time of the year it was, right? And now you guys are so blessed. And now we ride up on the campus and, you know, I'm on paved asphalt coming up here to the church, and I was just thinking about how much I appreciate and how much many of you that have been here, you know, for the 15, 16, 17 years like you were mentioning, how much more you appreciate that growth that took such a long time to happen. You see, for the plant or a tree to survive, much less bear fruit, its root system has to take up more space underground than it does above ground. But oftentimes, we tend to set our eye on what is visible, what is seen, what seems to be more tangible in life. But you see, for the plant to survive, it has to have a root system. I think about those giant redwoods. You know, I don't know if y'all have ever had an opportunity to see those giant redwoods in Santa Cruz, California, but man, those trees are just massive. I mean, they're giants. I mean, that's what they are. They're just giant trees. But what people can't see is that the root systems of those trees are just as wide as they are tall. It's amazing. Because that tree is such a massive, giant, beautiful tree, it has to have that root system to support it. That's what we call a strong foundation. Yeah. And you can just write this down. Your foundation will always have to be, listen, always have to be bigger than the thing it's supporting. I look at Christian Ministries. I see the growth that we've had here at this church. I walk in, I see these beautiful floors. Man, the foyer, the coffee shop, y'all beat us to the punch. Y'all got a coffee shop first. I went to our pastors. I said, is that what we're doing now? We're letting Christian Ministries Missouri take the lead. Is that what we're doing now? And he was like, leave me alone. He said, all right, I'll get a bun coffee pot and put it in. I said, no, that will not do. A bun coffee pot will not do. And then so y'all helped motivate, you know, our pastor to get that in there. But see, maturity and fruitfulness in your life comes through a similar process, just like the Japanese bamboo tree. It comes through a similar process, and this is what we've been teaching our young adults at Applied Life Leaders Academy. See, God plants the seed of His Word inside of you. He waters it with His Holy Spirit, and He begins to give you insight into who He created you to be and what He has called you to do. And He stirs up that desire inside of your life so that you will be a person who will go out and begin to make what happens as God has called you to do that. But the important thing to understand is that your point of connection with Jesus, that's your deep roots. So your point of connection, Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can do what? You can bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And see, what God wants is us to become so rooted in our relationship with him that we think like he thinks, that we respond like he responds, that we act like he acts. Can I have an amen?
Yes.
We desire the things that he desires, yes, not the things that our flesh desires, because we're rooted in him. And this is what it means to remain in him. See, for you to bear abundant fruit, God has to make you bigger on the inside. Come on.
Yeah.
I said, for you to bear abundant fruit, God has to make you bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. You know, my wife and I, we're in the process of building a house right now. We're right in the middle of it. It's been a dream of mine most of our married life, honestly. And I've talked about it for years and years and years. You can just ask my wife. She's tired of hearing me talk about it, I'm sure. And there's been a lot of prayer and watering that dream. And there's been, and I'll just be honest with you, and for those of you who maybe you're dreaming for that to happen for you, and maybe you're a young married couple and you have a dream of something like that, or a business, or whatever it may be, there's been lots of ups and downs. You know, there's been highs and lows. There's been times where I thought it was impossible, that it wasn't going to happen. There's been times that I became very frustrated, and I just wanted just to say, forget the whole thing. Just let it go. God, leave me alone with that thing. I wish I never hadn't even got that dream in my heart or thought about it. You know, there's been all of those moments. But now we've arrived. After many, many years, we've arrived, and we're in the early stages of building our home. And so the first several months, if you were to go up to our property where we're building our home, I mean, you really wouldn't even think anything was happening. Okay, because you don't pull up and go, oh, there's a house, because there's nothing. There was nothing at all when you pulled up. What had to happen first was a proper foundation had to be established, and it had to be laid before the house could ever begin to go up. So, you know, we had to have, you know, big, heavy equipment come in. They had to remove trees. We had to have a lot of dirt hauled in, pit, to begin to prepare the foundation. Then after they got all of the pit hauled in, they had to get this big roller packer out there and begin to pack that foundation as they brought that in, so that that foundation would be firm and solid. It could support the weight of the house when the house began to go up. See, a place had to be prepared,
yeah, that's right,
for the dream,
yes,
to be built.
Yes, yeah.
And in your life, it's the same way. See, a place has to be prepared for the dream to be established in your life. You can write this down. You'll only rise as high as your foundation is deep. You can only rise as high as your foundation is deep. You know, I think about King David when God sent Samuel to go to Jesse, you know, David's father, and all the brothers were lined up. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but basically, you know, he called a big meeting. It was probably a big deal knowing that Samuel, the prophet, was coming to their family to pick a king.
Yeah.
And so Jesse lined all of his sons up, and you know, he went down the line, and none of them were chosen to be it. And Samuel had a couple of thoughts, though, as he was looking at all Jesse's sons. And as a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the what?'" He looks at that point of connection.
Yeah.
See, that's what the Lord looks at. He looks at that point of connection. Where are those roots? And as you listen today, I want you to just ask yourself, are you more concerned with what God is building on the inside, or are you more concerned with building on the outside? See, because for God, it was way more important what was being built on the inside than what things looked like on the outside. And see, remember, God wants us to bear fruit, much fruit, but He wants our fruit to be lasting. He wants our fruit to be multi-generational. God didn't want another King Saul.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
See, God didn't want another king. We already had King Saul. Saul looked like a king on the outside, but he didn't think like a king on the inside.
Yeah.
And so God didn't want another King Saul. He looked like it, but he wasn't sufficiently rooted in God's heart to lead the nation the way that God needed the nation led.
Yeah.
In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, after David was chosen, it says, David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. Now, I want you to notice, after he was 30 years old. Now, he was anointed at a young age. He became a king at 30 years old. And I want you to do the math. From the time that David was anointed to be king, God took almost 20 years to sufficiently establish a root system in David that would give him the ability to lead God's people the way God wanted them led. I mean, I think about Moses, for example. Moses, chosen by God to be the deliverer for the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses, you know, he kind of got ahead of God. You know, he got in a hurry and he struck a man and killed him, and then he had to flee. And it says that Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years God was preparing him and establishing him a root system before he ever had that encounter with that burning bush. Wow, what an incredible thing for all of us is, you know, we look at the suddenly, we look at the breakthrough, we look at the Japanese bamboo tree, and we see it going from here to here in just 6 weeks, 90 feet tall. Wow, what an amazing thing. And here's my point, church. You have to trust in the Lord and keep your focus on Jesus while you're in the process.
That's really good. Yeah.
Because it's really easy. You know, as a young adult, it's really easy to get frustrated that your wife hadn't come along yet, that your husband hadn't come along yet. You know, if you're in school, it's really easy to get frustrated that you're not in ninth grade yet, because you see all those cool ninth graders, and you know, and you're a sixth grader. And you want to be a ninth grader. And then once you finally do become a ninth grader, you realize you're starting all over again and you're a freshman. You're at the very bottom of the ladder. And so you want to become a senior, right? And then when you finally arrive at being a senior, well, you know, you want to be a college person. And then when you become a college person, you want to be done with college. And then when you get done with college, you want to get married. And then when you finally do get married, you want to have some children, and then you finally have your children, and then you want to get rid of your children. You know, it's just, it's like in every season of life, it's so easy just to live in a place of frustration and not appreciate the process and the root system that God is wanting to establish.
Really good.
And the fact of the matter is, church, you know, it's not the big train wrecks in life that get us. It really isn't. I mean, when big tragic things happen, and I hate it when they do, but it, you know, we live in this world and we do have those things happen. And when they do, you know, that's when we often really reach out and grab hold of the Lord. But you know what really gets us? It's just the everyday, seemingly menial routines of everyday life, getting up, doing the same thing every day. Doing the same thing every day. It robs us of our vision. It robs the dreams that God plants in our hearts, the desires that God puts in our hearts. You know, I remember a number of years ago, we had a guy come to a men's conference. We did men's conferences for many, many years. We had men come from all over, and there was a young man that came to a men's conference. He was in his probably in his late 20s or his early 30s. He was married. He had a couple of kids, and he just had an encounter with the Lord at our men's conference. Just absolutely rocked his whole life. I mean, it just changed his life. It literally set his life on a different course. And it was just a few weeks later that he contacted me, and he said, "I really feel like that I'm supposed to come to Applied Life." Well, you know, I'm more of an 18 to 25 year guy with the internship, but he really felt like that he was supposed to do, and I always want to be open to the Lord. And so I said, "Okay, you know, if you can figure out a way to have your family nearby and you do classes and you, hey, we'll make it work." And he owned a landscaping business, and he ended up selling the business and had done real well because he'd worked it for many, many years. And he came to the internship and started going through the internship. And at that time, we were a two-year Bible college. And so when we got into the second year, he came to me and he said, "You know, I really feel like God's calling me to ministry. I really feel like I'm supposed to be a pastor." And he says, "And I want you and Tim to train me." And so I said, "Okay, I'll do that. But you have to do something for us." And he said, "What is it?" I said, "You got to give us 10 years of your life." And he looked at me like I was a crazy person. He said, "Did you just say 10 years? And I said, "10 years. That's what I said." And he said, "Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, I can't give you 10 years. I said, "Well, 10 years is what it's going to take." I said, "Because God doesn't microwave pastors." He doesn't. Just like that Japanese tree lay in that ground, and it didn't seem like anything was happening, but it was. There's a root system that has to be laid. See, we want the fruit, but we don't want to invest in the root. But the root always determines the fruit. Good root, good fruit. Bad root, bad fruit. And we've all seen ministers. Oh, they start out, they're fired up, they're awesome, but they don't have the root system, and then they turn greedy, selfish, get weird. Like Pastor Tim says, they twist off. Y'all have heard him say that, right? They just twist off. I don't really know what that means. It's a bottle cap or something, but it's not good, whatever it is. and so he just couldn't do that. Couldn't do it. "No, I can't do that." And so he finished the 2 years with us, and he went out, and he got online, and he applied, and he took a church. He became a pastor of a church, met with me, told me about it, and I'm supporting him. He's great. I'm praying with him and all of that, and you know, the church lasted a little over a year, and he and his wife got very hurt, very wounded by the people in the church, and just, you know, he had a heart to lead. He just didn't know how. Because he wasn't established. And then, you know, they started another church, and that church lasted for a little while, and then that church didn't make it, and then they really got hurt, and then they pulled out of ministry altogether, and he became very disillusioned, and maybe God didn't even call me to do any of this in the first place. And so I stopped hearing from him for a number of years, and then 10 years later, I got a phone call from this man. And he called me up and said, "I'd like to meet with you." So we met, we had lunch. And here's what he told me. He said, "Paul, it's been 10 years. He said, I feel like the children of Israel out in the wilderness going around in circles." He said, "There's been a lot of movement, but I don't feel like I've gone anywhere." And he said, "My wife's been hurt. I've been hurt. We've gone through a lot of struggles." And he said, "I wished I had listened to what you told me. Because I heard God tell me 10 years. I wouldn't just throw that on somebody. I think he felt like maybe I was just doing that just to frustrate him or try to control him. But what I was trying to get him to understand is that you don't microwave men and women of God. See, lasting fruit only comes through the long journey of putting our roots down deep. It would be kind of like, you know, my boys, when they were growing up, they drove, you know, four-wheelers and cars and stuff from a very early age. They were capable at 9 or 10 of driving a car or a truck. But I didn't go, okay, you know where the steering wheel is, you know where the gas pedal is, you know where the brake pedal is, get on out there in the interstate and drive. See, just because they could doesn't mean they help me should. Just because we can doesn't mean we're ready. You know, I ask our interns sometimes, I say, all right, how many of y'all are ready to go out and just rock the world for Jesus? You're ready to go out and just change the world? And they're like, yes, we're ready. And I said, all right, go. And they're like, well, I'm ready, but I'm not ready. And like the Apostle Paul, when he had his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, and God called him to go and be a minister to God's people, he didn't immediately go. He went into Arabia. He was there at least 3 years. Some scholars say he was there up to 15 years. While God laid a root system in Paul's life to prepare Paul for what God had for him. See, without deep roots, there's no fruit. And if there's no fruit, or if there is some fruit, it won't be the kind that lasts. And Jesus described this for us. In Luke chapter, I believe it's Luke chapter 8, verse 6, it says, the seeds that fell on rocky soil represent those who hear the message and they receive it with joy. They're all excited about it. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, and then they fall away when they face temptations. How many people have I just seen at our, we've been in our church for over 30 years in the same place. I've only pastored one church my whole life, one internship my whole life. And I know that's a rare thing, but you know, it's like in the Old Testament, the cloud settled and it didn't ever moved. So I just stayed. But I've watched a lot of people come, and I've watched a lot of people go, but I've seen so many allow their growth to be choked out before it ever got a chance to produce any kind of lasting fruit because they got antsy. They became frustrated with the process. They became impatient. Or they just, because it was just taking so long, it wasn't worth it to them to invest the time in prayer, to invest the time in believing, to fight the good fight of faith like the Fight Club, see? To see you obtain the prize. I've watched a lot of Christians fall into compromise. They give up on their calling. They walk away from God, all because they never allowed God to make their internal world as important to them as their outside world. And listen, God's a lot more concerned with the inside world than he is with the outside world, because if the inside world isn't right, then the outside world won't be perceived right. Yeah. And we can become a person who bears fruit, but it's not the right kind of fruit. Yeah. See, God says he wants our fruit to be good fruit, not bad fruit, good fruit. And I don't know about you today. You know, where's your heart attitude? Are you patiently trusting the Lord to fulfill his promises in your life? Are you prayerfully waiting on God to do that work in your children, to do that work in your husband, to do that work in your life? Are you waiting on the Lord to fulfill his promise? Are you waiting on the Lord to open that door, to bring that person into your life, to start that career? Or maybe to build that dream house like my wife and I. Listen, anybody can start a race, but it's finishers that are impressive. Anybody can start something. Lots of people do. 90% of all small businesses in the United States fell within the first year. It's easy to get excited. It's easy to have the goosebump. But see, that's not going to last forever. Then that's going to fade. And your root system, see, you're abiding in Him, and you're connected with Jesus, and you're spending time daily with Him. You fathers in here, you're spending time praying over your family. You're spending time going over the Word in the morning with your cup of coffee. You're taking time to pray. You moms in here, you're praying over your children. You're sowing good seeds into their lives. See, God has called us to finish our race. One of the seven things that Jesus said on the cross was, it is what? It's finished. And Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father and to finish it. That's what God wants us to do. And the fact is, if David needed to be planted, and if Moses needed to be planted, and if Jesus needed to be planted, because Jesus was over 30 years old before he started his ministry. For some of you young adults in the room. Because it's, I get it. God, hurry up. Come on. I mean, I remember thinking that with God. When's she coming? When's it going to happen? When are you going to bring it about? I get all that. See, God didn't anoint David at a little boy and then say, okay, take my hand. Samuel didn't say, take my hand. Let's get you to the castle and get you going, big boy. That's where you're going to grow when you get in the castle and we'll get, no. Where did David go back to? He went right back into those fields with those few sheep that he was watching over. Could you just imagine how that felt, having Samuel come through, crack a vial of oil over your head, declare you king, and the next day you get up, I'm the king. And your father says, all right, well, king, get out there and take care of those sheep like you were doing the day before. But I'm the king, right? The same is true for us. Listen, you are where you are because God planted you there. I'm going to say that again because some of you need to hear it. You are where you are because God has planted you there. And God can grow roots of trust in you in whatever job you have. In whatever house you're living in. In whatever relationship you may be in. In whatever stage of life your children may be in. God can grow roots in you at any stage of life. And you may say, Paul, well, you know, I really feel like my attitude has not been good. And you know, I've made some missteps. Or maybe even you're here today and you say, man, I blew it big time. I've sinned. I've messed up. I mean, I just totally just feel like I've just messed so much of this up through my disobedience. But let me just tell you, even if you've missed past opportunities, you may be here today and you've wandered from God. Maybe you haven't been close to the Lord for a very long time. I remember being in that place in my own life. But here's what I can tell you. You can start over right now, today. Today. The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. Says today is the day of salvation. Carpe diem, seize the moment. This is your time right here. See, wherever you are, I want to encourage you, let God cultivate strong root systems in your life. Don't despise small beginnings. God's not against little people, and God's not against little beginnings. What God's against is little thinking. And we have to understand, when we're building something, I had an old minister tell me, and he's since passed away, but this is what he always preached. He said, the only time you start at the top is when you're digging a hole. Everything is built one brick upon the next. One upon the next. See, it's important for us to understand that God always develops us before he fulfills his vision through us. God always develops us before he fulfills his vision through us. And if we don't understand this, we'll resist him. We'll get frustrated with him. We'll feel like, God, did you like completely forget about me? Do you even know my name? Do you not remember the prayer that I prayed, the conversation that we've had? God, do you not see my children? Do you not see their struggle? Do you not see my life? Do you not realize what's going on around me right now? Do you not recognize my health struggles, whatever it may be? But see, you have to expect and embrace God's root building process. Listen, God's taught me so much more through the valleys that I've gone through in life than he ever has on the mountaintops. My resolve and my resilience and my strength of character did not come through me walking through the roses and the pansies with Jesus. Although we all love those moments. Those are great. Don't get me wrong. You know, who doesn't like cotton candy and flowers? I mean, that's wonderful. But that's not real life. That's not how real life always works. And like I said, if we don't understand this, we can get disillusioned, we can get discouraged. No, you have to expect and embrace God's building process. So let me ask you this question. Are you partnering with God today in the process that he has you in? Or are you like wrestling with him in the process that he has you in? I think it's human nature for all of us to think we're ready for something when in all reality we aren't ready. There's so many times when I was a young adult, and these guys hear me say this, I'm like a broken record. I say this to them over and over again. And it's not, and I don't say that to you guys because, you know, for you college age guys that are in the room, I don't say that to you because I don't think you're capable or I want to keep you from walking into what God has for you. I just want you to walk into it successfully. And I want you, when you walk into it, I want what God does in your life to be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. And I want it to last and I want it to remain. But I think it's just human nature for us to all think we're ready for something when we're not quite ready for it. But if you'll trust in God, not only will you set yourself up for future success, but you'll learn to thrive in the process that you're in. See, aren't we all tempted to think, well, I'll thrive once I get on the other side of this. God, it'll be better when this happens. I mean, I think about the many-year process of getting to the place that I am now of building a home. I've watched lots of people build homes since I had my dream. And I'd make sure God knew about it. See that one? See that one? Look over here. Well, they're way younger than me. What's going on here? But, you know, as I look back on it now, I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared for that. My finances certainly weren't prepared for that. See, it's tempting to fall for the lure of the short term. So tempting to fall for the lure of the quick, the easy, the expedient, the microwave. And what can happen is, if we become impatient in the process and we get in a hurry, what we end up doing is we end up settling. Settling. I've watched young adults settle for a boy. Settle for a girl. You settle for this. You settle for that. I've seen it happen. And it's not that they're bad. It's really not. I mean, most people, it's not like they're just going to go out and just make a terrible decision and just do something that clearly, you know, is a bad thing. No, it's not bad. It's good. It's just not best. It's fruit. It's just not much fruit. It's just not fruit that remains. And what happened is because we get frustrated and we don't appreciate the process of what's happening in the hidden places of our life. Deep underneath the soil where we can't even see what God is doing. We can't even see what's going on. God's developing things and we don't even recognize it because oftentimes you can't really feel that it's happening. It's kind of like when you go to, when you're a kid and you go to see your grandparents and you hadn't seen them all year and you show up and your grandmother says, oh, you've grown so much. And she grabs your cheek and about pinches it off. And I can't believe how tall you've gotten. You've grown like a weed. You know, and you're thinking, I haven't grown at all. I don't feel like I have. But see, you just don't recognize that because it's under the soil. So what happens is we get frustrated with the process and we settle for good over best. But what we have to understand is good is the worst enemy of best. See, God has best. We settle for good. So in that moment, good becomes the worst enemy of best. Because God wants best. And so there's this process, there's this root system that God is laying. And I want to encourage you today, whatever season of life you're in right now, trust the Lord with what He's doing. Listen, God hadn't forgot about you. I want to take you back to the very beginning of my conversation with you. He chose you first. You didn't choose Him. He picked you. See, this was His idea. Right? Hello? This was His plan. This was His purpose. He said, I chose you to be mine. I mean, I think of the Apostle Paul having his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul's telling his testimony before King Agrippa. He says, at midday, O king, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining all around me and those traveling with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to resist my will. And he says, who art thou, Lord? He said, it is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for a purpose. And when God set His eyes on you, it was for a purpose. His purpose, not your purpose. He's the builder. He's the potter. We're the clay. Can the clay say to the potter, why did you put me on this wheel for this long? Why do you have me in this process for this long? You know, Ezekiel had a vision of a potter at a potter's house. There was a wheel, there was clay, there was a potter. He was molding on the wheel. He says when he got down to the potter's house, he said as he was watching, it said that the vessel that the potter was making was marred in the hands of the potter. And you know what it says? It said it pleased him to make another vessel. And so what he did is he just added some water and he just smashed it down and he just started all over. And sometimes that's what has to happen. You know, we get into this process and we like kick God out of the way and we try to get on the wheel. All right, I'll get this bad boy going. God, you're just a little too slow. Speed that RPM on that thing. You know, back then they had the little pedal. So you get it going real fast. I'll get this going all of a sudden. Wobble, 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 wobble. Yeah. Oh, and then you step back and go, I'm not as good as I thought I was. It takes a whole lot more talent and ability than I realized, right? You're not just going to jump on that thing and do it. No, because you're not God. God wants to establish your roots deep. And I want to encourage you today, trust God in your life. Trust God in your relationship. Trust God in that future business. Trust God in that dream home. Trust God in that move. Trust God in that calling. Trust God with that ministry opportunity. Trust the Lord in whatever it is, with your children, whatever it may be, with your mate. I don't know what it is in your life, but in this season of your life, instead of allowing that thing to frustrate you, instead of allowing that thing to cause you to have a bad attitude in your life, cultivate roots of intimacy with the Lord. Take that time to allow God to do that work in your life. Here's what I do. Here's what I've learned. I don't really pray and ask God for a lot of things anymore. I just thank Him. God, I thank You that You have my life in Your hands. I thank You that You have my kids' life in Your hands. I thank You that You have my future in Your hands. I thank You for all that You've done. I'm grateful for Your faithfulness. Come on, church. Come on, can we not do a little bit more of that? God, I'm grateful for everything that you've done. I'm grateful for the children that you have blessed me with, even though they're knotheads sometimes. I bless you for the husband that you gave me, even though he's a knothead sometimes. Isn't that right, honey? God, thank you. I praise you. I give you praise. I thank you. And God, I trust you. I trust you because you're faithful. Listen, God hadn't taken his hand off of you. Everything that you've been through, God's never left your side. He's still right there. And every mistake that you made, I think of some of the dumb things I've done, some of the mistakes I've made. If I was God, I would have said, boy, you're on your own a long time ago. But see, aren't you glad God's not like us? God's not like us. I want to encourage you today as I close. If you will do this, if you'll put God first, if you'll trust God in the process that you're in right now, we're all in different places. I promise you, you will thrive in the soil that he has you in. You'll thrive. And you will bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remain. Legacy. Legacy. See, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for legacy. We're not looking for quick fruit. We're looking for fruit that will remain. Legacy. Amen?
Yes,
y'all get something out of this morning? Y'all stand with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.